Hey, how many of you remember when you were younger having the talk with your parents? Let me see your hands. Yeah? Yeah, that was awkward, wasn't it? And you can thank me for taking you back to that strange time in your life right there. Now let me ask this one a little more relevant, because some of us are a little more seasoned and that was a long time ago. How many of you can remember having the talk with your children? Oh, yes, even more awkwarder, huh? Was it not? Yes. Now, I can remember having my first conversation, my first talk with my son Isaac at the age of about 12, I think it was 12 years old. And I can remember, I kind of changed it up a little bit, and I said this, "Son, we are not going to have the talk today." I said, "We are going to begin a conversation that will last, I don't know, for the next 35 or 40 years of your life." Right? Because things have changed today, and that conversation continues. And here's what I always... What I can remember, like in the brief conversation that I had with my dad, or when maybe you're on that end and you're talking to your child about that. Here's what's fascinating. We always and already knew what the talk was going to be about, did we not? And I find that fascinating. And here's why we knew what the talk was going to be about. It's because culture continues to tell what the talk is all about. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a parent that doesn't want culture to tell my children what love, sex, and dating is all about. Can I get an amen? I just don't want that to be happening. So, right about now, many people may be wondering something like, "Josh, why are you going to spend the next 4 weeks talking to single people when the majority of the room is full of married people?" And here's the reason. It's because I want and believe that what we're going to talk about, I want every single person in here to have great or even greater relationships. I want all of the single people that go to the Church of Celebration to get a chance to get it right the first time. I want all of the divorced people that are sitting in our room to get a chance to get the next marriage right. And I also want all of the parents, those that are married in here today, I want you to get the talk right when you have that conversation or are going to have that conversation in the future with your children. That's what I want. That's why we're taking 4 weeks and we're going to talk about this. Now, here's another reason why I felt led to visit a conversation for the next 4 weeks called Love, Sex, and Dating. As a pastor here in Maricopa, COC is basically the largest evangelical church in Maricopa. And I got to be honest with you today, okay? There's not too many times that I can go to Fry's or Walmart and people not know who I am as the pastor of Church of Celebration. And here's why. That's why I don't even know all of your names. You walk out and you have to tell me your name. And you're like, "Dude, I've been telling him my name for 6 years." And I here's the deal. There's one of me and there's lots of you. So this is a relative thing. And it's an occurring thing that goes in. So that... I go in to Walmart or Fry's, and it's not uncommon at all. I'm just running in for milk, right, or bread. And a simple conversation will turn into an intense counseling session. And it kind of something, it usually goes like this. Someone will come up to me, and they'll say, "Hey, Josh, how are you today?" That's all. And then they will then proceed for like the next 35 to 40 minutes, go into the most intimate details of their lives, to which my face is like this at first because I don't know who they are. And then it's like, this. Now, if this has happened with you, I'm fine with that. That's cool. You can keep coming up to me. That's not a problem. And here's what will usually happen, though. About 35 to 40 minutes into the conversation, after they've vomited everything on the table or on the floor, you know, clean up in aisle six, you know, one of those things. I don't mean to be rude, and if I've ever sounded like a jerk, forgive me, but I will interrupt them and say, time out, just 1 second. Now, could you tell me what your name is? You know, now that you've dumped all of the intimate details of your life to me and entrusted me with that, I just like to know who I'm talking to at this moment in time. That's kind of how it goes. But in all seriousness, after all of those conversations, here's a few of the things that I'm left wondering all the time. I'm left wondering this. How did you not see that coming? I mean, didn't anybody ever tell you about this or that? I mean, how did this happen without you even being remotely aware that the train was coming? So I decided that here's what I would do. I would take 4 weeks, and I would say to you in this series what I'm always seem to be thinking in one of those conversations. So here's the deal. This series is literally for everybody. It's for single people in particular. And if you're single out there, I want you to pay attention in this series, all right? Because this series is going to be what maybe nobody ever told you, you know, and just kind of giving you the forewarning if you're in that life. And divorced people, it's for married people. There's going to be, I promise you, there's going to be a wealth of knowledge that all of you can practically apply somewhere in your lives right now. I believe that with all my heart. And basically, here's what I'd like to do is, from the Word of God, I'd like to cast some vision for something that society and culture has done a pretty lousy job at. That's what I'm after. That's what I'm after in this. So let me start here today, and then we'll really jump in. Since starting Church of Celebration, I have heard through the grapevine at times when someone leaves our church or this or that, but I have heard at times that some people from time to time don't think that I'm that deep of a spiritual teacher or preacher. They don't think that I'm that deep in my teaching, and they're after more deep. So let me just say this to set the table before we go any further with that idea. The reason that you maybe or others have thought before that I'm not that deep of a teacher or preacher is simple. It's because I'm clear. It's because I'm clear. All right? And that is my ultimate goal as a pastor. Is I don't want to confuse you, leave you walking out of here with wondering, what in the world did he just say? Or, man, that was good stuff. I have no clue what he said, but I'm going to look at that one later. You know, that's not what I'm after. For some reason today, people often confuse deep with it has to be confusing or intelligent. That's what deep means for some people. Meaning, if it's not confusing, then it's not deep. I tell you that because what I'm about ready to share with you is kind of the premise of this series. And to me, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. But it might just go right over the top of the heads of you that want deep, okay? I'm just letting you know that up front, all right? So I want you to know that. But this is a huge thought for this series, all right? I'll go slow. If you're a note taker, I think it's on the screens. But here it is. Ready? Here's the first premise of the thought. Your present. Which many of you are living in right now, and you're enjoying. It's great. Your present's going wonderful. It's awesome. Your present will be your past. Amen. Woo, that was from God right there. Man, your present will be your past. Now here's the continual thought with that idea. Something everybody here today needs to know. But your past will eventually show up in your future. Your past will eventually show up in your future, okay? Now, they just jumped ahead and they stole my thunder because that's actually my deeper thought right there. So, George, you blew it today on the screens, all right? All right, so here is the deeper, for those of you out there that are deeper, but this is the deeper thought. The present will be your past, which will be present in your future. The present will be your past, which will be present in your future. Now here's what I'm saying with all of that. This is one of those things that if you're out there and you've had really tough times with relational problems, that you're single, you're searching, you're wondering what it's all about, this is one of those things that probably nobody ever told you. Here's what it is. All right, I'm going to save you a lot of heartache. What you're doing now, it's going to follow you around. It's going to follow you around for the rest of your lives. And that applies to whether you are single, divorced, or parenting teenagers who you're trying to clearly communicate the massive implications of the importance of love, sex, and dating. It just is. You see, you've probably heard me say this before, all right? It's this. I've talked with many, 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 many married people in my ministry years. And I have never talked to a married couple who has marriage problems. Never. Never happens. And you're like, what? All those counseling sessions? No marriage problems? No. Here's what's happened. I have, however, talked with many people, all right, who've got problems and then they get married. See, am I not fascinating right now? All right? Listen, that's the thing. I've talked with so many people that they've got problems and they've got married, and that's what I mean. That's what I mean, friends, today when I say your past is going to show up in your future. It's going to happen. So this is one of those things. This is one of those things that probably nobody ever told you that you wish somebody would have told you that would have avoided a lot of the heartache, all right? This is one of those things. What you're doing now, whether you are single, divorced, or parenting future adults, what you're doing now, please listen to me clearly, it matters. And it matters big time. It matters big time. Now, Let me tell you something about this, and then I'll kind of narrate it with a little like monologue or story. Here's what I've discovered in 20 plus years of ministry in working with relationships. Today, many people fall for a relational myth, and that myth is called what the title of our message is today. It's called the right person myth. I've seen this so often. So many people fall for this myth in life, the right person myth. And here's kind of what that myth says. If I marry the right person, everything will be all right. If I marry the right person, everything will be all right. Another way of possibly saying that, that myth is this. When I meet the right person, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. And here's what, this is why it's a myth. Here's what that person didn't know that says that, or you, if you're saying that right now and you're that person in the room that you don't know. While you're looking for the right person, when you finally meet the right person has been doing the same thing that you've been doing. They've been asking the same question and they've been falling for the same myth. When I meet the right person, everything will be all right. When I marry the right person, everything will be all right. Now, here's what happens, all right? I'm going to just break it down for you. Do you know how the right person knows that they've met the right person? Here it is. Ready? Write this down. Chemistry. All right? This is how most people equate meeting the right person. We struck it off. We've got things in common. She's hot. I'm not that bad. The laws of physical attraction. So here's what happens with most people. They do what so many people do, all right? And that is this. Don't ever buy a pair of shoes without trying on the pair of shoes. Don't ever buy a car without test driving the car. So here's what they do. They get the whole intimacy thing, the whole sex thing going, all right? And since they're just so connected, because there's just so much chemistry, all right, that they honestly believe this about their newfound right person relationship. They believe this. Nobody, you probably have this conversation with your kids. Nobody, older kids, I hope, nobody has ever loved like this before. Nobody. They honestly believe that this is a unique, one-of-a-kind kind of love. They are convinced about this fact. So here's what happens. All right, here's my story monologue. They get married because there's so much chemistry, they just don't know that much about relationship. All right? They just don't know that much about relationship. And here's why I can say that. Because they've always been thinking, if I meet the right person, everything will be all right. So they get married. And now all of a sudden, there's problems. And guess what kind of problems there are? Not chemistry problems, relationship problems. That's what there are. All because they entered into marriage under a false pretense. That being, love will keep us together. You know what I'm saying? Right? They thought the passion was enough. So now guess what starts to suffer in this new relationship problem? Right, the chemistry. So once we're here, all of this passion and sex and love is there, but now these problems have come in, and now the chemistry part of the relationship, it starts to die. It starts to die. Now, I'm just going to come straight forward here. For all the guys in the room, this is the time that gets really confusing in this relationship, all right? Because he starts to think something like this. What's wrong with all these problems? What's going on? So he starts to think naturally something like this. If we just have more sex, that will fix it. I may be throwing guys under the bus, but I'm a guy too. But like I said, in this relationship problem, when the chemistry's starting to die, this is what he's, I want what we once had. And that's what we once had. So if we start having more sex, then that will fix it. And that's because guys think of sex like duct tape. It'll fix anything. That's the way it rolls. But the girl, she's in tears. No, that won't fix it. That won't fix it. So suddenly there's this tension and there's this confusion. So the very thing that once held it together, which was chemistry, it starts to die. All because nobody's good at relationship. And it was because they'd always been thinking this. If I meet or marry the right person, everything will be all right. But it gets even better. Here's what happens next. Somebody in the relationship comes up with an idea. Usually the woman, and they say something like this. I got it. I know what will bring us closer together again. I know what will bring the chemistry back. And they will say something like this. Let's have a baby. And the guy is thinking, that includes sex. Good idea. See, all the single people are laughing right now. All the married people are sitting out there like this. They don't even dare look over at their spouse. The guys are already thinking, did he talk with Pastor Josh this week? How does he know all this stuff? So let me tell you how I know all this stuff. It's not because I'm really smart, that's for sure. It's because as unique and special as you think you are, I hate to burst your bubble, but you're not. You are not. This is a well-worn, predictable path that's called life. And I'm hoping somewhere in this series, something speaks to you and will keep you off of that path. That's what I'm hoping. Back to our story. So the couple decides to have a baby, to bring back the chemistry. So here's another little statistic. Here's another little statistic for you, just to throw this out there so you need to be aware. Statistics show that there are 2 to 3 times in a man's life where he is most vulnerable to have an affair. Guess which one of those times is? Right, when his wife is pregnant. And now, so many of you, probably most of the women, are thinking something like this: what a butthead. Who would do that while his wife is pregnant and trying to fix the relationship? Okay, time out. Let me just say this in advance now, and we'll talk more about it in weeks 2 and 3, which, by the way, those 2 weeks, just the middle 2 weeks, those are rated PG-13, okay? I'm probably going to say some things that I think are totally fine and normal to say in church, but if you have kids that you want to be the one that tell them that, I totally, fully empower you to do that. Just say it the right way. Say it the biblical way when you do it, okay? But just so you know, I'm going to talk about these particular things in a few weeks, but let me say this to all the guys sitting in the room and thinking something like this while his wife is pregnant, trying to bring back the chemistry, and he decides to have an affair. And you're out there thinking, but dude, I have needs. Okay, time out. I don't know how else to say this, but let me just be very clear with you guys. Sex is not a need. Okay, let me break that down, because guys' minds are so simple, all right? So listen, food, that's a need. Water, that's a need. Sleep, that's a need. But guys, statistics have shown you can live your whole life without having sex, and you'll live just fine. So sex is not a need. All right, contrary to what you think, back to our story. The couple now has problems in their relationship, and they've now had a baby to fix those problems, right? And the guy, then this is what happens in this problem. The guy goes to work one day, he looks across the conference table, and guess who he sees? Yep, you guessed it. He sees the right person. So he thinks to himself, I know. I finally have gotten it. I know what's wrong with my marriage. I married the wrong person. I married the wrong person. Matter of fact, this is free. I often do this every once in a while. I throw you just bones. You know why second marriages have higher divorce rates than first marriages? Because divorced people do the same thing expecting a different result. It's free. So, now that you're all down and depressed with our little story, let me give you some good news. If you're single today, that story does not have to be your future. If you're divorced today, that story does not have to be your future. If you're a parent today, that story does not have to be your kid's future. It doesn't. There is something different. There is something better than what our culture is selling you. And the reason culture is not telling you, all right, this in what I just said is not because culture, it's not because culture is against happy marriages, and it's not because culture is against successful relationships. Here's the problem. Happy marriages and successful relationships, according to culture, are apparently boring. They're apparently boring. I mean, who's ever going to do a reality TV show on Josh and Ginger Barrett? They like to follow me into Fry's and Walmart probably and get some of that on video. But nobody is going to do that, all right? Because apparently the relationship that I have with my wife is boring. It's boring. But let me let you in on a little secret, all right? Just blow your minds. I love Ginger Barrett, and have loved her for 21 plus years in marriage. I have. Even though culture would tell you it's apparently the same old, I will add it's the same old, extraordinary thing every day. That's what I'm talking about. Now, here's the contrast. Here's the contrast to the right person myth. Don't miss this. If you're a note taker, write this down. Instead of finding the right person, it's more about becoming the right person. There's a better way for you to write it down. You got to change your way. I'm telling you something that maybe nobody ever told you. Something that is like, how did you never see that coming? I'm telling you how to see that that's not a light at the end of the tunnel. It's an oncoming train. That's what I'm doing today. Okay? It's not about finding the right person, which everybody around you tells you, this is what you got to think about finding that person. It's about finding the right person. No. It's not about finding the right person. It's about becoming the right person. And that thing right there, that's not a cute little saying. That's the real deal. That's what nobody ever told you about relationships. It's what nobody ever told you. So you simply can't miss it. So whether you're single today and navigating in and through this dating culture, or whether you're divorced and you found yourself traveling through the whole relationship thing again, but you're doing it the same way you did your first relationship, or whether you're a parent of a future adult trying to figure out how do I help my kids learn about love, sex, and dating the right way, or whether you're not, you know a friend that's struggling with this relationship stuff. Here's the question that you should be asking in this journey. Here's the question. Are you who the person you are looking for is looking for? Write that down. I'm going to say that one more time, all right? Are you who the person you are looking for is looking for? This is the question. God, parents, I just loaded your gun for you and your children right there. That's the whole talk right there. Son, daughter, this is the question that you always have to be asking. Are you who the person you are looking for is looking for? In other words, this, you know who you are ideally looking for. So the better question is, are you that person too? Are you that person too? Another way of saying that is this, are you being intentional? Are you leaning towards becoming the person you are looking for is looking for? Or is this what your relationship endeavors look like? You're just going to the craps table, rolling the dice, hoping that someday, magically, you'll run into the right person. And if you meet the right person, then duh, the right things are going to happen. If that's you today, I'm hoping you're getting enlightened just a little bit that doesn't happen. It's a myth. It's a myth. Now, here's the most interesting thing. When you open up your Bibles, which we will in just a second, okay? When you open up your Bibles, you will find very little help, very little, if any, with finding the right person. You will. But if you open up your Bibles asking something like this, God, help me become the right person. How do I become the right person? Surprise, surprise, you will find scripture after scripture after scripture to help you with that idea. And here's why. This will come as a surprise. But it's because God created relationship. He created relationship. And check this out. God created you for relationship. He created you for relationship. So it's actually quite natural. It's quite natural for everybody sitting in this room, men and female, to want someone to say to them someday, and actually mean it, I love you. It's very natural for you to want to hear somebody say in your life, you're the most important person in my life. And that's because that feeling is the thumbprint of God on your soul. That's why. But here's what you must get and you must not forget today. And remember, that doesn't happen accidentally. And to believe that it just happens is to believe a myth. It's called the right person myth. Now, today, with our remaining time together, I'm going to give you the start of this list, all right, from Scripture. And I'm going to help you out with that. This is going to help you become a better person or become the person you're looking for is looking for. So grab your Bibles and your pens and write these down. All right, now here's the deal. The list is actually found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And many people who have grown up in church, you know this chapter to be what? What's it called? The love chapter. That's right, the love chapter. You want to know what love is? You know, I texted and I emailed and I wrote a letter to Foreigner when they sang, I want to know what love is. All right, I just sent 1 Corinthians 13. There you go. They answered the question right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That was really good right there. I'll keep singing if you want, all right? Now, I'm only going to give you a few of the list because you're smart people. You can go look it up later. And just to help you out, inside your programs, I went ahead and put the full list on there, all right? Love is, and this is the list of what love is. And then here's what's so cool. There's a guarantee to this love list. There's a guarantee to becoming love. Love never fails. That's an absolute guarantee. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You practice becoming this list. Guess what? You will find the love that will never fail. Bottom line. So cool. Paul starts out by saying this in verse 4. Love is patient. Say that with me again on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Very, very good. One more time. 1, 2, 3. I'm just practicing love real quick with you. You know what that means? Here's what that means. Love never pressures the other person. Under any circumstances, they never pressure the other person. Love always creates as much space, time, and margin as the other person needs. That also means this. I'll just say it bluntly. If you're in a relationship right now where it's always push, 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 teenagers, if you're out there, young teenage girls, listen to me. If you're in a relationship where you've heard, but if you love me, punch them in the throat. Tell them your dad owns a gun. If you're in a relationship, married people, if you're in a relationship where it's always push, 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 according to this passage, that person doesn't love you. Let's keep reading because this list is good so far. Everybody likes it, right? All right. Paul goes on. Verse 4. Love is kind. Say that with me again. Love is kind. One more time. Love is kind. Yeah, none of the guys like the word kind here. That's not that fun of a word. So let's replace it with another word that the guys will relate to, all right? Love is considerate. No. Not your time. I'll point to you when it's your time. Just. Oh, wait. That wasn't very considerate. I'm sorry. Say it with me if you like. You know what considerate means, right? It means this. You actually take into consideration how the other person feels. Like, I don't know, all the time, according to this passage. So let me tell you what most married people think or have thought about this particular thought, all right? The chemistry is hot. All right? This is what brought us together, right? So they enter into this thing called relationship, which they have no idea about. And they think, I don't need to be kind. I don't need to be considerate. Because when I meet the right person, they won't require kindness from me. They're going to be so right, there won't be anything to even need to be considered. It's just going to be so natural. It's just the natural byproduct of perfect chemistry. So let me let you in on a little secret that every married person in this room knows. They both discovered that neither one of them was very good at being kind or considerate, and that's because their spouse was thinking the same thing they were thinking. Huh. So Paul is saying here out of the gate, no, man, hold time out. I want you to become something that you are not. It's in the becoming that prepares you for great relationships. So Paul goes on, verse 4. Love does not envy. Say that one with me. Love Love does not envy. And here's what envy actually means, all right? It's actually the reason why there's so many divorces today. Envy actually means this. One person starts to think, I don't feel very good about myself. So, I can't let you feel very good about yourself either. So for so many of us in this room, because you grew up in a family where there was a divorce, you're going to really have a problem with this becoming peace, all right? Because you're going to have to be very careful not to drag that into every relationship that you are in or will be in, unless you start to allow God to kind of, you know, root that thing out of you and out of your heart. Here's what it also means in all of relationships. In all the relationships in the room today, it means that this is crazy, this is nuts, but it means this: if you're a single person and you go on a date, all right, or if you're married and you go on a date, if this is a problem in your marriage too, this envy thing, and you go on a date, all right, when your date or your wife or your husband, they tell a story, all right, to you, and it's like they've been waiting to tell you this big, awesome, whatever, all right, instead of telling them a bigger or better story, all you do is this. Wow, that's awesome. You are so cool. You are amazing, sweetie. That is amazing. That's awesome. You choose to let the glory stay with them. Ginge has a real trouble with this one, but we'll keep moving. All right, Paul goes on, verse 4. Love does not boast. It's not proud. That's a fun one. Say that one with me. Love does not boast. It's not proud. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. Some of you are, if you're single for sure, you're thinking so far, that sounds like the worst date ever. If you're married, you're like, that's not a fun date. Everybody in this room is like, that's not a very fun relationship. That's the worst relationship ever so far. Are you kidding me? Love's patient, kind, doesn't envy. It's not rude. It doesn't boast. Well, what is going on here? This is nuts. And here's why you're thinking that. Because on this little list of how you become the person you are looking for, which is love, you're looking for that, right? None of this is about you. Huh? But I thought it was. No, it's all about the other person. And now would be the best time to remind you what this whole little idea is. You better becoming the person you are looking for is looking for. That's what we're talking about. Let me just ask you a quick question here. We'll keep moving. Do you think your parents might have stayed together? Do you think your last marriage might still be a marriage if there had been just a little bit more patience? A little bit more kindness? A little bit more consideration? A little less envy? And a whole lot more humility. Just let that simmer. Let that simmer. Then Paul gets to the juicy one. Love is not rude. Yay for that one. Say that one with me. 1, 2, 3. Love. Ladies, don't elbow your husbands right here and say, you listening to the preacher right now? Don't you do that. Love is not rude. Another way of saying that is this: love does not dishonor others. Love does not dishonor others. You know what this means? It means this. In your relationships, dating, parenting, or married, you never, ever, 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 ever do anything that will create regret. What's regret? I wish I had never met her. That's regret. That's regret. And I just struck a chord in most people sitting in this room with many of your relationships because you've thought that before. It's because love was rude. It's not supposed to be rude. Here's a few other word associations with rude. Does not behave disgracefully, dishonorably, or indecently. Love does not behave disgracefully, dishonorably, and deceitfully, or indecently. And here's the problem with what culture is telling you right now, all right? If we're being honest today, which I'm hoping we will be in this series, those three ideas right there, disgracefully, dishonorably, and indecently, for way too many, so many people, that's why they date and how they act in their relationships today. That's why, right there. Many people here are thinking something like this. Dude, Josh, time out. Isn't that the whole reason to date? So I can act disgracefully, dishonestly, or dishonorably, and indecently? Are you kidding me? That's I'm supposed to be able to do that before I get married. When else am I going to be able to do it? Never. Never. Listen. If you think that dating or your relationship is to behave disgracefully, dishonorably, or indecently, if you are of that area, you're buying into what culture thinks and tells you about that. Listen, I love you. Stay away from my daughter or I will kill you. But listen to this. What may serve you well right now in your life, it's what's going to destroy you later on in your life. Remember that whole past, present, future thing? I can't even remember what it was. It's just too deep. And I'm not saying that today because I'm mad at you or I hate you. I want you to get this right, friends. And that's why God says that one of the ways that you get it right is to learn now so you can reap the benefits later. How to honor a man, how to honor a woman in such a way that when you actually fall madly, madly in love with someone and you think you might want to spend the rest of your life with them, that you will become the best honorer that there is in this world. Paul goes on, verse 5. Love is not self-seeking. Say that one with me. Love is not self-seeking. You know what that means? It's not about you. It's not about you. And now nobody in this room that's single wants to get into a relationship because they're like, if that's what a relationship is, I don't even like that. Jeez. So let me just time out and we'll wrap this thing up. Let me pause right here and ask you a very logical question. Right now, so far, in hearing these things and broken down, does any of this, better yet, you answer for your spouse, not out loud. You answer for your spouse or the boyfriend or the girlfriend, all right, or your ex-wife or your ex-husband. You answer this. Does any of this stuff come naturally? Uh-uh. You know what comes naturally in a relationship? Passion. Chemistry. Those come naturally. And here's something that might just blow your minds today. Listen to me. You can feel that way, chemistry, about 1,000 different people. You can feel passion for thousands of people in your life. That's why there's myth that too many people are falling for called the right person myth. So I'm telling you, friends, today very openly and honestly, to allow your relationships to be driven by something, chemistry, that you can feel for 1,000 different people, something that just comes so natural, like somehow, someday, when I meet the right person, all of this stuff that you're talking about, Josh, patience, kindness, consideration, envy, rudeness, it's just going to magically appear. It's just going to be magically appear. Come on, friends. Are you kidding me? Seriously? That's the kind of fairy tale that drives people into relationships that eventually lead you to believe this. It just doesn't work. It can also lead you to think things like this. Nobody ever falls in love and stays in love. Do you know how many divorced people I've met that said that to me? Nobody ever falls in love and stays in love. Or this one, marriage is something, I don't even know if I believe in it. It just needs to be discarded forever. But I got great news for you. I got great news for you today, friends. All of this stuff that Paul is suggesting right here, you can become. But it will require some effort in you becoming something, guess what, that you are not already. It's gonna require work. You mean a marriage is work? The hardest I've ever done in my life. And that's not meaning it in a bad way. Now, Paul wraps this up with something very interesting. I got to close here, all right? We're gonna land the plane here, and then we're going to pick it up at this verse next week, okay? If you hear anything else I say today, please hear this part, all right? Paul wraps it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, and he says this. After this list, he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I even reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, you can even substitute the word there, adult. When I became an adult, when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Now, with that in mind, let me ask you a question in closing today. How does just about every childhood fairy tale end? When the prince finally overcomes all the odds. He beat the dragon. He defeated the wicked stepmother. Whatever. Listen, when he comes over all those odds and he rescues the princess, how does every fairy tale end? And they lived. Right. Say that one more time. And they lived. Yeah. And that's because we all know that in children's fairy tales, if we could just get the prince and the princess together, what? Everything just takes care of itself. Listen, I'm going to say something. It might hurt a little bit. And I don't know who I'm saying it to, but if you know you're the person that I'm saying it to, then you better listen up. I love you. But let me just be straightforward with you. Some of you out there are dating. Some of you out there are living and approaching your relationships, your marriages, like a child. Like a child. You're thinking like a child. You're reasoning like a child. You're talking like a child. And it's time for you, and again, I'm saying this because I love you. It's time for you to put the ways of your childhood behind you. And for you to finally say something like this, you know what? This isn't about me magically finding the right person. This isn't about me magically thinking that my husband or my wife, that they're just going to become the right person. This isn't that. That stuff, that's Disney. That's fantasy. That's myth. That stuff makes for good TV, great movies, and awesome novels. But it's not reality. So today, here's the deal. I'm going to put the ways of my childhood behind me. And I'm going to do everything within my power and then let God do everything in his power to help me become the person I'm looking for, that the person I'm looking for is looking for. That's what I'm going to do. Today's the day. Today's the day. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Don't stand just yet. I realize that we have come pretty straightforward at many of you today in this room to kick this series off. And I no doubt, because I've sat in many of these conversations and had this conversation with a lot of people, I have no doubt that it could very well have left many of you in this room today feeling pretty empty, pretty lonely, and pretty shamed today. But that's not what the intention was. I want to leave you with the great news. The great news is this: if that's you today, you've discovered that it doesn't have to be that way anymore. You can decide today to become something different. And here's some even more good news. Some more good news. You don't have to do it alone. We're a church that loves you right where you are, and we want to help you. And we want to help you. In a minute, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song. And I've got some friends that will be standing at the stage with lanyards on. And they are ready for you to come forward and spill your guts to them. That's what they're here for. They're not undercover gossip columnists. They love you. They care about you. Will what we say be exactly right? Will it be exactly perfect? Probably not what you want to hear. We'll probably make some mistakes and say something the wrong way. But know our intentions, every ounce of our intentions, that'll point you to what Jesus says. This is how you become the right person and stop trying to find the right person. Or if you're married, make that person into the right person. We love you and we care about you. That's why we do this series. So today when we sing that song, if that's you and you want to talk to somebody, they'll be up at the front. After the service, if you're a little nervous when people are standing here, they're going to stay up here even after the service. You can come up and talk to them then, right? Or you can stop by the care ministries table out in the lobby. Just say, I need some help because I have no clue. I have no clue how to become the person I'm looking for is looking for. But I need some help and I think I've been doing this the wrong way. Just tell us something like that. Let us help you. Let us save you a lot of heartache. Let us tell you what nobody else maybe never told you. Let us share with you some things that will help you out, that you can stop doing right now in your present, which will be your past, which one day will show up in your future if you don't stop doing it. But let us help you. That's what we're after. Let's all stand and I'll pray for us. Jesus, thanks. Thanks for all my friends that are here today. I pray that something spoke to someone particular, whoever that is. And you, Lord, would give somebody courage and confidence to come forward and share their story. Help them not feel so alone. Help them take some steps forward with some help, with another brother, with another sister. Help them know our church is here for them. Help somebody today, Lord, take a step towards becoming the better person. We love you. We praise you in your precious and holy, holy, holy Son's name.